This is Physical Presence, a Stargate Atlantis Buffy the Vampire Slayer crossover fic, written by Mona Not Lisa, read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13, with spoilers for SGA Season 2 and Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 6. Pairing, Rodney and Yanka. Kavanaugh's in the infirmary after what? Funny, really, to see Elizabeth stare at Shepard as if she suspected him of playing a practical joke on her. She really should have known better. He'd have done so in a heartbeat, yes, but was far too enamored of his drawl-enhanced Californian gentleman act for it to involve key parts of his anatomy. They fell off. The male ones, I mean. Shepard winced just a little. Rodney wasn't sure if that was due to his instinctive sympathy for another guy, or just as instinctive antipathy for Kavanaugh. One really didn't want to think about that man's dangly bits. Not so much with the dangling anymore, of course. You're seriously telling me that Kavanaugh has lost his balls? What there was of them in the first place, muttered. But Rodney couldn't help it. He bit his tongue just in time not to add that Kavanaugh, even without his dick, was still one, because, hello, true, wheedling and whining even louder than before, screaming bloody murder and mutilation. Elizabeth gave Rodney a sharp look, but was, considering her very own wording, well aware of the issue. So was John, of course. It seemed they even taught proper terminology at flight school. He was working on his laptop when it happened. There was nothing and no one conspicuous in sight. Beckett has examined him, and stated conclusively that both penis and scrotum simply detached. No wound, nothing. Shepard's gaze dropped for a second, and in the face of his genuine discomfort, Rodney reconsidered the Ken doll jokes he'd been itching to share with the Colonel later. He's storing them in a vacuum container in a cryogenic chamber for possible future reattachment. We've already started looking into ancient technology. If someone triggered this... If? Rodney stepped forward, patience fraying. Don't be idiotic and let us focus on the how, which obviously includes finding both the device and the person who triggered it. Seriously, what else could make a man's dick and balls fall off? Beautiful women did not make a habit out of appearing in Rodney's quarters in the middle of the night. So it was hardly a surprise that, when it happened, Rodney jumped back from his desk in shock, knocking over a heap of paper outlining the city's power structure. Even in the somewhat unfavorable blue glare from the computer screen, he could clearly see she was gorgeous, slim and blonde and wearing a red dress and, oh, he had a bad feeling about this. Although that might just be a Matrix flashback, not warranted by such a harebrained movie. No, keep doing what you were doing. She gave him a smile that was perky and self-assured, all cheerleader turned motivational speaker. But I was just thinking. Exactly. Far too knowing look, with a side of indulgence. Make that Battlestar Galactica, the new series. Rodney would have backed away, but since his shoulder blades were already touching the wall, he decided he might just as well step forward again. He started by crossing his arms and looking her straight in the eye. So, hold it, right there. How did you get into my room, and how come you were aware I was thinking? A frank glance, and she mimicked his motion. He felt there was an eye roll coming right up, but she seemed to catch herself and gifted him with another wide smile that would have been downright frightening if she wasn't so stunning. Get in here? Not hard, let me tell you. At that, she flipped her hair. The city's protective, but I have practice. And, oh, I'm just trying to assist you. You look like you need a little help. Rodney hadn't heard that being said to him for 20 years. And not outside gym class, even then. That's insane! With realizing what you want, I mean? Rodney blinked. No, not that. Roddy blinked again. You can really read my mind? No, but I can read men. Her face softened for a moment, and the little smile in the corner of her mouth gave him a sharp pang of recognition. Jeannie's face, after her first fiancé. Who'd been a slut, Rodney had wanted to deck him from the moment he'd first seen him, had run off with the secretary. Anyways, she looked up, brown eyes bright and encouraging again. So, are you going to be specific about your desire to get back to Simpson for bitching about you behind your back anytime soon? Okay. This would have been frightening, bordering on terrifying, if Rodney were prone to panic. Which he wasn't half as much as he was prone to making others panic. Oh, I can wish for something, can I? Barely holding in the snort. Yes! He hesitated in the face of a smile that could probably be called beatific. No trace of deception or mockery, the latter a disturbingly foreign mode of conversation. But if her offer was honest, there was still no such thing as a genie in a bottle. Not that he'd seen one lying around. Assuming for the moment that there was, though, and using this as the basic presumption, then a few things were starting to make sense. Rodney drew a deep breath, the nucleus of a possible discovery spinning faster and faster in the back of his mind. I can wish for something specific? She nodded brightly, with just a hint of impatience. I wish I knew who wanted Kavanaugh's balls to fall off. Stupidity wasn't among Rodney's, admittedly numerous, bad traits, but he still felt triumphant when she answered without hesitation, but, if he wasn't mistaken, with a touch of pride. Young woman with dark hair and glasses, bit twitchy, no wonder. Jerk ratted her out in front of the whole team, called her a silly girl who shouldn't have played with crayons, not computers, and become a good little teacher. Her eyebrows lifted at that, puzzled. Why he thinks the danger of being torn to shreds is lower for a teacher, I don't get. The mortality ratio is even higher, especially if you're the principal. Glancing at him, she took a deep breath. Anyway, she stumbled away to cry, and I was there to lend her a shoulder to curse on. She talked with the relish of someone who didn't get to talk about her work often enough without people running away. Rodney knew, because he'd been around physicists all his life. But his mind was still stuck on a different thought. Miko? Not that Rodney saw any of this coming, but sweet, even-tempered Miko with her completely futile but secretly quite endearing crush on him? She has desires like this about males on her team? A glare. What part of my really very helpful answer didn't you get? Aren't you supposed to be smart? Hey, I am! Oh, fine. Let us blithely assume Miko harbors secret castration fantasies, which you make come true! Rodney suddenly had the urge to press his legs together. Well, yes! She arched her eyebrow, looking at him as if he were short bus material. Right, of course, because you're the fairy godmother in reverse. Don't compare me to the competition! It must be a trick of the light, but her face seemed to shift for a moment, melt into a grimace, bumps and ridges and searing eyes. Sorry, I'm sorry! Rodney's mind was approaching, without reaching, of course, the speed of light. All of this was most likely a very lucid dream or a hallucination. Possible culprits included that mind-melting cocktail on HH4242 and the tiny pink spores inhaled on the mainland, which he'd mentioned to Shepard several times, but which hadn't elicited any reaction beyond that lazy smirk. But he'd rather have smashed a ZPM with his bare hands than accept chaos without at least an attempt at structuring it all. You only grant evil wishes? If his voice pitched a little higher on the last two words, well, it couldn't be helped. Duh! Heartfelt, that one, and Rodney realized there were even more evil things hailing from California than previously assumed. Vengeance demon and the patron saint of scorned and otherwise slighted women, but I made an exception for you. That Rodney didn't know whether to feel flattered or insulted. Did I have such shapely legs? Did I display maternal instincts? Did I have nice breasts? Did she really look at his chest under the blue shirt with something akin to appreciation? In fact, now that you're asking, okay, forget about my completely rhetorical and sarcastic line of questioning there, and just tell me why you chose me. Why chromosome here, after all? A pointed look. Impossible to forget that. Fine, it's simple enough, even for a human. The worst thing, Rodney thought miserably, was that she was serious. I was in the neighborhood. Since I'd already come all the way and could take care of the first cry for vengeance, I figured I might just as well hang around and listen for other clients. So you hail from a galaxy far, far away? I'll have you know, Xander made me watch them all, even the ridiculous new trilogy, so I totally get your silly pop culture reference. A sideways glance. And yes. Yes? Last location was Earth, which qualifies as a galaxy far, far away. Not that it's all, you know, relative. True. Rodney felt a small but perfect spark of delight. You can travel space and time? Space only. And dimensions, of course. Rodney let that echo in his mind for a moment, as always impressed by its resonance. Interdimensional travel between the human world and the demon realms. Obviously. Oh, she wanted blasé. Must come in handy when you wanted to go on vacation, eh? By her look, she was definitely annoyed. Before the whole thing with Xander happened, I hadn't even taken a sick day in ages. Rodney could sympathize. Tell me about it. When I left Northwestern, I had accrued more sick days and overtime than half the department had worked their whole life. Last time I took a day off, there were still glaciers everywhere. On second thought, maybe he couldn't. The look she threw him was decidedly peeved. No wonder, if she'd been around and busy since... Wait, no time for idle musings, better left to the daydreamers in the geosciences. If you could call them such. Since it's been a while and you've been around, ever heard of the Wraith? That got him a head tilt and a curious look. You mean the dominant race here? Well, put like that. Yes, big, ugly monsters that suck the life right out of... At her sharp look, he changed course. Out of a human? She peered at him, bird-like, attentive. Well, they're hybrids, like the rest of demonity on this plane of existence. But they're pretty efficient, highly organized, and generally into order, which isn't exactly the demon way, of course. The general tendency runs far more towards formless and fathomless chaos. Her expression indicated she deemed herself above that level of identification with such basic concepts of the universe. Anyways, I'm not really on her side. Purely professional reasons, you understand. But this humanity being overrun, well, it just happens when there's no Slayer around. She shrugged and patted him on the arm, an oddly awkward gesture that still sent a shockwave through Rodney, who had to confess, if only to himself and no one else, that he was gaping. At her, at the spin she put on his aforementioned plane of existence. On the bright side, I've found humans bounce back, even after carnage and massacres, and in the end, they often win. Rodney realized her smile was meant to soothe, and he managed a feeble grin in return. That's very reassuring indeed. I know, isn't it? It came as a surprise the first few centuries or so, but now? The cheerful look she gave him was answer enough, but Rodney, when he could be arsed to pay attention, was able to play along. Now you're quite optimistic about humanity? It was more than Rodney would ever have said about himself, after all. But she nodded, and this wasn't about himself. Atlantis was at stake. Getting back to the Wraith. So, you know them well? She seemed to suddenly find his bare feet rather fascinating. Oh, please. Like, one drunken night of tentacle fondling... There's not mine, I'll have you know. Means I know them well. Rodney decided to let his mind skip over this image, thank you very much. That's fine, really, I was talking about... Racking his brain for a way to sugarcoat it, and not finding any. Killing them. Permanently. Ah, okay. A bright nod. Well, they regenerate, but rocket launchers work really well, even on indestructible demons. Trust me on that one. A conspiratorial grin. And hey, there are always these nuclear missiles some humans are so fond of. If one, namely Rodney, was looking for a more sophisticated method of averting the Wraith threat once and for all, answers that could have been taken leaf for leaf from Shepard's book, fighting for dummies, weren't exactly the droids he was looking for. Let's substitute that for an eye and regard the microcosm here, shall we? We found an enzyme that enables the transfer of vital compounds on a submolecular level. Sorry, no clue. An apologetic nod and a trace of frustration because she frowned. You so don't want to see my high school biology grades. Too true. Rodney rubbed his forehead lightly and sighed. Do you have any idea how to kill the Wraith in a way that does not involve weapons, explosives, or brute force in general? Duh, of course. Thank God and all those weird Pegasus Galaxy deities. Well, what is it? Magic. A supremely self-evident answer, indeed. Rodney rubbed his forehead a little harder. This wasn't going quite the way he'd envisioned. In fact, it was so far off track he had little hope of making it back to the land of sanity and solutions. Well, we're woefully short of sorcerers in Atlantis. So, are there any other Wraith weaknesses you can think of? No, as I said, I am not actually familiar with them, and... She stopped, and one eyebrow of hers began a breathtaking ascent. Do you ever stop asking questions and start uttering wishes? Would you, if there was only a negligible chance that anyone but you could grant them? She thought about that for a second, then shook her head and, after a short and disapproving look around his chamber, let herself fall onto his bed with a resigned plonk. Why do I always end up with geek boys in cluttered rooms? The very question threw Rodney just a little. No idea. Sure, you're evil, but you're also a hot babe and could provide for vengeance in mansions and castles and palaces. Exactly! Sharing a look of mutual bewilderment, Rodney started to wonder. Can I... Vague hand motions, but she definitely had experience with a less formal approach. Oh, sure, sit down. It's your bed after all, and it's not like I'm adverse to the idea of having sex with you on it. That was when Rodney had to struggle not to swallow his tongue. When he stopped coughing, he was already perched on the bed, with her patting his back none too gently. Xander squirted orange juice all over his place when I let my dress drop to the floor, so I have experience with this kind of shock reaction. Understanding in her voice. It's sort of cute, actually. She batted her eyelashes, once, and Rodney thought he might just be in love with a... I know it's impolite of me to ask, not to mention ridiculous, since this is just a really strange hallucination and or nightmare, but what exactly are you? Me? Here it was, the raised eyebrow. Thought that was pretty clear by now. Anyanka, vengeance demon, You can call me Anya. Everyone but my boss and my coworkers do. Not a specter, but a demon. Of course. Next thing, there'd be werewolves. Or vampires, who might just give the Wraith a run for their money. If they were the cool kind, naturally. Not the Stoker-esque and vaguely creepy sort. Rodney was shaken out of his minimally hysteric musings by Anya, continuing her merry tale. I've been to plenty of palaces in my time, of course. It's just that in the last millennium, they are less and less populated. People moving out into smaller homes with central heating and altogether fewer ghosts haunting them, you know? Although, I must add that the female servants there are still wonderfully creative. Rodney strongly suspected that Anya's definition of wonderfully creative didn't quite match his own. But in the interest of friendly discourse, and possibly sex, he wasn't about to stress the difference between them. Not when this was the most animated chat he'd had with a woman who wasn't technically his superior, and therefore off-limits, in ages. Well, it's always good to have clients who are not afraid to be specific, huh? Oh, yes! Her smile was dazzling. And nice of you to mention it. You should really make your wish so I can call it a day and get naked with you. Some of us have work ethics, you know? He was speechless. For a fraction of a second, anyway. Look, this is hard! Rodney, whose brain was overloading and whose body wasn't exactly unaffected, simply had to say it out loud. You're making me wish for a million things done to the monkeys in the labs and the apes in their uniforms and... You're having trouble choosing? The sympathy in her voice was positively killing him. I can give you a two-for-one deal if you want me to. No! Not only is it impossible for me to utter some cripplingly evil wish, I also need you to fix Kavanaugh, who, yes, deserves to have his dick and balls removed after the stunt he pulled on Elizabeth and now Miko, but whom I really need on the science team, and not for hitting C-sharp. She stared at him darkly, teeth worrying her lower lip. But why? Oh, for God's sake. Of all the people on Atlantis, you've ended up with me for pointers on what's right and wrong and moral? She shook her head, bewildered. No, that wasn't my intention. As I said, I came to do my job first. Right. Rodney squeezed his eyes shut for a moment, knowing that if his mother were present, she'd just tell him not to pinch his mouth into a tight line like that. So good she wasn't. Right. So, your job is to avenge slighted women?
Yes.
Which is, in fact, completed when the perpetrator is sufficiently suffering?
Exactly.
So, Kavanaugh's already punished. Even if you restore him to normal now, I'm sure he won't ever think of attacking Miko again. Revenge is served. She frowned, but then nodded slowly.
Guess so.
Fine. So you restore Kavanaugh and can still jot it down as a job well done. Staring at him with sharp, appreciative eyes now, she nodded again, looking at him intently. Rodney had to take a deep breath now. He was receiving very clear signals, but experience had taught him that sometimes... There were scramblers involved, and Sender hadn't meant it quite like that. Still on the agenda. Granting my wish, and having sex with me. For a moment there was silence, and he half waited for a reply either furious, incredulous, or mocking. But she looked down at his body, then up into his eyes.
Yes.
We can do that. I give you my world-renowned scientist word on that. Only that it shouldn't be a problem reversing the order, right? So sex first, restoration, and wish then. As for the latter two, does size matter? The smile on her face went from mildly impressed to almost fascinated.
You're funny. I like that in a guy.
Hooray! Rodney was an eminently focused guy, though.
So, getting naked now?
At that, she finally laughed, a genuinely delighted sound that went straight to parts of Rodney that someone else was currently lacking. And the rest was loudness. Quite a bit of it. Rodney woke up the next morning with a wide, wide smile on his face. Otherwise, life went back to normal. If you chose to disregard the utter confusion of the science team, and of course, the notably subdued Dr. Kavanaugh, who, it turned out, went as far as to trade half of his ancient coin collection for Yokan, which he left, wrapped in ornate bamboo paper, on Miko's desk. And if Simpson found she developed this terrible stutter every time she foul-mouthed Rodney in any way, hey, this was the lost city of Atlantis. Stranger things had happened. The end.